Well, the hymn "Abide with Me" is what I'm taking off from for today. And I left a little space in my notes here to tell you what hymn that was in your hymn book. Only I discovered you didn't have a hymn book. So that won't make any difference. But it expresses what I see for the new year. In fact, the last two lines of "Abide with Me" are, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." You know, if I could put my whole message into two lines like that, we could leave very early. But I want to give you a lot more because I'm a Baptist. And as a Baptist, it would kill me to get out of the pulpit in 5 minutes, I'll tell you. I can't quite do it that well. But those of you who heard me before know that I don't go on forever. So I won't go on forever today. I'll just give you what I want you to hear. The hymn writer, Henry Francis Leidy, found out that he was dying of tuberculosis. In 1847, he penned his hymn, "Abide with Me," and he left for France. France had a much milder climate and could keep his life for several years more. The night before he left, he sat down and wrote this hymn, "Abide with Me," and he left the next day for France. He never returned. His life gave out while he was in France, while it was gone. The words are as true today then, now, as they were then. And that's why I take this from him, and I want you to see it. In Psalm 102, and beginning at verse 1, and you don't have to follow me, you can just listen to me, unless you want to. Psalm 102, the first four verses to begin with. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. In the time, incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and weakened like grass, withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread." And then dropping down to verse 24, he continues on and says this, "I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of thy days. Thy years are throughout all generation. Of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Let me repeat verse 27. "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." How important that is to realize that this, the first day of the year of 2017. And by the way, may you start off by writing on your checks, 2017. Most of you will be writing 2016 until about February 1st, if you're the standard person. Not all of you, but some of you will continue writing 2016. But this is the first day of the new year, and how important it is when we stop and think what he says here. "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." How important that is. If our technology advances in the next 80 years, as it has in the past 80 years, we will not be able to grasp today what the changes will be in 80 more years, even as we go. It's really beyond imagination. Just stop and think. We hear about cars that drive themselves now. They have certain things in the highway implanted whereby you can just let go of the wheel and lean back and let it drive. We have brakes that put themselves on when they come close to anything else. We have automatic things that speed up the car or slow down the car in any way. And in the next 80 years, that will be completed to the place where cars will be virtually automatic, even though we can't imagine that as of now. You probably heard the story of the plane that claimed to be completely automatic. It had no pilot. And people got on and sat down in the seats, and the plane started up, and a voice came over the intercom and said, "Peoples, today you are the first people that have gotten on a plane that is absolutely automatic. And this plane will take off today without a pilot. It will land without a pilot. And absolutely nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong." I think maybe there's some truth to that. And I think I'd be a little worried about getting on a plane that could do itself. But we have television now. We have advanced to the place where we can make virtually every TV in the United States obsolete. Have you got one of those old-fashioned TVs that you can't see what's on the left-hand margin? You can't see what's on the right-hand margin? Because now they make wide screens, and all the stations have changed to the widescreen. What I'm saying is that we're going to see changes that will take place. There will be much change beyond what we think. But you know something? The heart of man will still be the same. 50, 100, 150 years from now, as Jesus tarries, we'll see things all going. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And you know something? That won't change. No matter what we have in technology that changes, the heart of man will not change. It's there. And because God never changes, we can trust His abiding with us. We know that He's there. He isn't old-fashioned by any means, but God just doesn't change. He stays true to us just like He claimed to be. The three statements in this hymn bear that out. "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." So we have to cope with the changes as they come from a technology point of view. But we want to remind you that we have a changeless God in a changing world. Change and decay in all around I see. We see in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 1st verse, we see this, it says, "This know also, that in the last times perilous, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." My, if I could just put an illustration to every one of those statements that he said. You know, and even some of them I would imagine you thought of as I rattled off those things and told you about these things and what it was there. We go on to verse 12 of that same chapter, 2 Timothy 3. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Technology may change, folks, but everything else in regards to man is going to get worse. Men are going to consider themselves to be above God. And even now, our government has shut out God. You cannot, today, our government will not acknowledge that we are a Christian nation, even as our Constitution does. They will not acknowledge it. It's gone. None. And yet, we want things to change. Change is inevitable. Good or bad, change is inevitable. In fact, none of us would desire to return to the sanitation that we knew about 100 years ago. We're glad to be rid of the old one and two holers, are we not, that sat in the backyard, especially during the winter time. That reminds me, I just remembered that I locked my wife in the outhouse that we had a little cottage for our honeymoon. And when she slept out to the outhouse at night, I slipped out right behind her and turned that little turnbuckle. And she was locked in. Now I let her out, obviously. But that's the little devil I have in me that I'd like to do those kind of things. People desire change to a degree. People like things to be different. Fads and styles come and go. And what would we do if we didn't have ties that got wider, narrower, real wide, then the bow tie, and changed? We enjoy change to a degree in some things. And think about the sports world. Somebody always breaks the record. And if you're a Cub fan today, say amen. Whew, a lot of Cub fans here. I'm glad to hear that. And that you're here. And we trust next year they're going to do it even sooner and break the records that are there. But change is inevitable, God, good and bad. But spiritual change and decay is unnecessary. We don't have to change from a spiritual point of view because we have a God that is abiding. He's with us and He's the same. Some things God just doesn't want changed. Matthew 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And aren't we glad about that? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise the Lord for that. There are some things we just must not let decay. We don't want to see family life change, do we? You want to see the husband removed from being the head of the home? You want to see a mother changed and being different than what she is now in her stand in the family? Or how about our spiritual lives? Do we want our spiritual lives to change so that we do what we want to do and see things different? We have enough changes in our spiritual life and in our churches without having to look forward to those things happening. They just happen. And church membership. Church membership ought to have the same obligations to it and the same standards to it as what we've already seen. There's much change and decay already in the United States. Our Supreme Court now makes law instead of just interpreting law. And some of the changes that have been made in the last 4 years, I understand, are going to change in the next 4 years. I hope so. At least I hope that the ones that need to be changed are changed as they go. It's like the clipper ship Dreadnought one time. Dreadnought, way back in 1862, found itself stranded up in a gale, and everything was broken. The rudder was disabled. They couldn't steer the ship at all. And they sat for a few weeks hoping another ship would come by and direct them, help them along, tow them or something. Nothing came. And as the food got a little bit low, the captain himself, a well-thinking man, changed all the sails on the ship. And he backed up, went actually backwards for 280 miles until he got to port. And there they were able to get the ship fixed and so they could go in the right directions. For 3 days they had sat there with nothing happening, but something finally did happen when somebody said, can you imagine watching a ship sail across the sea backwards? It would certainly change your idea of what was going on taking care of. So this country was founded on religious liberty. And today, our government, by law, is secular. No longer does our government recognize religion as such. They are a government that tries to do it by the strength of man alone. And if we know and recognize what's happened in Washington in the last couple of years, we know it's impossible. It can't happen that we have those kind of changes that's there. We need to have God recognized in our nation. So, change and decay is all around I see. We see it all there. Which brings us into the second consideration that we have. O thou who changest not. And of course he's talking about God. In the midst of the change, of all this change, there has to be some stability. Psalm 90 and verse 2, when it talks about these kind of things that we talk about thinking about God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Yes, we have stability in spiritual matters if we recognize them and take care of it. In World War II, Winston Churchill and our own President Roosevelt, they were described as rocks because they stood still during the war, and they themselves led us into the place where we won the war. They kept their leadership throughout the war. O thou who changest not. Because God is not human like us. He doesn't have to change. When he comes to January 1st, he doesn't have to make resolutions. I should ask, how many of you women made resolutions to do something different this year? But I won't ask that question. I'll just let you think about whatever you might be doing. But in God, we have stability. He's the same today, the same yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow. That's the kind of stability we have. Because the fact is, he's not human like us. Remember how Saul changed toward David? He brought David into his group of people, and he threw a lance at him twice, trying to pin him against the wall. He tried to murder the very man that he brought in who played music. He didn't change his mind like Saul did. God doesn't change his mind like Saul did. Saul changed toward David. Paul even changed. Remember toward John Mark? He took John Mark with him on the missionary trip. And when John Mark dropped out, later on, Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark back. He said, he's changed. He's been a different man. Paul said, I will not go out with that man. He changed. Now, there was changes that were made. And that's an argument, by the way, that goes on, been going on since Bible times, about whether he should have allowed John Mark to come back. And I won't try to solve that problem today. But there are some things that just don't change and shouldn't change. Diotrephes. Remember, he was had attitude towards the Apostle John. And he said he was totally against him because of what he stood for. And Diotrephes was not the same man that he was when he went in to take over his position. People seeking stability find it in God. We know that God is going to be the same. That our God is still a prayer-answering God. He's still a God that blesses us. He's still a God that helps us to see things. He's the same God that changed you from being a sin-sick individual and gave to you eternal life so that you have power over sin if you just enable him to take the power that's there. And by the way, few find it in a psychiatrist or in a new spouse or anything else. What you find that stands true and gives you the power and strength to live from January 1st through December 31st is God. Because, O thou who changest not, God is always the same. He was the same in 2016. He'll be the same in 2017, won't he? He'll give you the strength to live, to be what you should be for him. All can find everything they're looking for in God, because he changes not. God's love is always constant and it's always stable. God is always the same. The explorer by the name of Nansen tried to measure the ocean depth in the far north, way up in the cold country. He said for posterity, he wanted to know how deep the ocean was. And so they took the cord that they had brought with them, thousands of feet of cord, and they dropped it over the edge with weight on it, and down, down, down it went. And when it got to the very bottom, it hadn't reached the bottom of the sea yet. And so he wrote in the ship's log that night, deeper than that. He tied on more cord. They took cord that they had extra, and they tied it onto that, and they dropped it over the water. Down, down, down it went. And it got out there and just hung there. And he wrote in the ship's log that night, deeper than that. Then they tied on everything in the ship that they possibly could. They measured it, tied it on, dropped it over the side. Over it went, down, down, down it went, and never reached the bottom. And you know what he wrote in the log that night? Deeper than that. You know, this is a picture of God's love for every one of us. It was that kind of love in 2016, and it's that kind of love that he has for us in 2017. We cannot plumb its depths. God has a deep love for us and for everyone who loves him. It's a love that ought to be in each one of our hearts. A young convert wrote and later set it to music to a song that every one of you know about. To write the love of God would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Yes, that's what God loves us and how much he loves us. It's there. O thou who changest not. He'll love you in 2017 like he did in 2016, and as he will come 2018, because he is a God of love and he doesn't change. Which brings us to the third aspect of what he had to say, and that is, O thou who changest not, abide with me. John 15 and verse 4, talking about the vine and the branches over there. In John 15, these words he said in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now what Christ was talking about there, and talking about what the abiding is, he's talking about how important it is that he be a part of our lives. And as born again Christians, whether we like it or not, he is a part of our life and should be. And what Christ abiding me, I'm taking from a Scofield Bible. Nobody here has a Scofield Bible, a Scofield reference Bible. You have a Scofield Bible? No. Anybody have a Scofield? You do. You must be an old man. I've got my original Scofield that I've had for 57 years before I went into the ministry. Don't tell my wife this, but it was an old girlfriend gave it to me for Christmas. And he has a note in here that makes it, I think, is a clarifying note for what I'm talking about now. He says, to abide in Christ is, on the one hand, to have no known sin, unjudged, unconfessed, and no interest into which he is not brought, no life which he cannot share. That's Christ. He abides with us in every area of our life. We have no unconfessed sin if we're abiding in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have any sin. We are sinners. You know, anybody who thinks that sin is eradicated doesn't know what sin is. They don't understand what sin is when they have it eradicated. We are sinners by nature. That's why he said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin. Praise God, we have an out. We don't have to live with our sin. We can confess it, and it will be taken care of. We have no confessed sin if we're abiding. We have no areas in our life where Christ is excluded. He's in everything. And we can take our burdens to Christ, who is our burden bearer. And he takes care of it because he does abide with us. We can draw from him any needed wisdom and strength that we need. It can be ours. Now, if 2017 would be a success, we just have to keep our eyes on God and his son, Jesus Christ. A farmer in England claimed to have been saved because of his good looks. I'm sure glad that that wasn't my claim for basis. I'd still be a lost sinner if I had to depend upon my good looks. But he meant it from a little different way. He said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. He said, I saw the picture. I saw him dying for me. Then the preacher turned to Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This picture, a risen Savior, showed that he was able to save to the uttermost. Then the preacher gave one last verse. He said, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that made me look to the future for the time when Christ is coming back for his own. That's how I was saved, by my good looks. I was looking for Christ to come back. Are you looking to God for a great 2017? O thou who changest not, abide with me. He'll be the same all year long for you. And there'll be somebody up here preaching next year and talking to you about the fact that God is with you for 2018, just like he was for 17. And we need to keep our eyes fixed even upon him. 2017 will bring more change and decay in things that we see. 2017, again, will prove that God doesn't change. He's still the same, and we can depend upon him. 2017 is going to be a great year if Christ abides with us and we abide in him. 2017, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Let's pray. Father, as we consider what 2016 has been, and one, God, we recognize the things that we didn't do right in 2016, and we realize that 2017 gives us a brand new time to start over and to be what he wants us to be. Oh God, help us to realize that we have a God who will not change on us, but will be the same God to help us and strengthen us for this year too. Bless towards this end, we ask now. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed, if you would, please, and just for a second, consider this with me, if you would. If you recognize that 2017 could be a great year for you, and that you'd like me to pray for that in your own life, would you just slip up your hand right now? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, so many. Others that might say that, I want to. I want to make sure 2017 is a great year. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray together there. Father, we pray for strength from you, for all of the people that are here that raised their hand today. God, give them a good year, not because of what they are, but because of what you are and what you can do through them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.